A wake-up call for 12/10/2022. That's December 10th, 2022, wake-up call.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA wake-up call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and we appreciate you joining us for this show. We've got some special guests. I think you'll enjoy the show. We've got Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
And we have the three of the school board candidates that just won the election here in Craven County for the Craven County Board of Education. And first we have Brent Manning.
Hello. Good morning.
Brent, thank you for coming. We also have Jennifer Dacey.
Hey, good morning.
And we have Lauren Kissinger.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, well, like I said, they were just elected to the school board. And looking at the list, we have seven members on the school board, and the election alternates this election cycle. There were four candidates, and that was the even districts, 2, 4, six.
Six, and also you were elected to fill that vacant position.
Right. Unexpired term, yes, sir, that's correct.
And then in the next election, it'll be the odd ones, 3, 5, 1, 3, 5, and 7. So that's the way the election works. Also, this is the first election that we've had where the school board race was partisan. And what that means is in the past, it was considered nonpartisan race. Therefore, when you looked at the ballot, the party affiliation was not on the ballot. If you hadn't done your homework and researched the candidates, you didn't know what party they were affiliated with. The ballot wasn't going to tell you. So this was the first time that it was partisan, and they are listed on the ballot. And we now have on the school board 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats. So that's a majority shift on the board. And that seems to have happened in a number of school districts all across the country. Parents really are starting to get involved. They obviously are not happy with the way things have been going. They obviously were voting for a change in their school board. And as a result of that, that's why you're here tonight. Mm-hmm. We want to know what to expect from you. And we want you to know that you will be held accountable, because the parents will expect you to do what you say you're going to do. And if you don't, some of them will expect you to do what they say.
And we also know, being realistic, experience probably says miracles won't happen overnight.
Right. And just, you know, having not served on the board, other than Brent, he has served. Yes, yeah. How long have you been on the board?
Since May.
Since May. So you haven't got a world of experience, but you have got your toes dipped in. Yeah. All right. So, being the first time on the board, you've got a lot to learn. I understand that. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, you needed to know something going into it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things in discussions I've had with parents and grassroots organizations, things like that, what seem to be some of the hot issues that people are concerned about. And I think one of the top ones is student achievement. Mm-hmm. And you know, our culture and our economy, they have always thrived on our excellence. And we always had excellent education system, envied around the world. That's why people from all over the world come here to attend our universities. That's the way it used to be.
Right.
Okay. We all know that there's been a big shift in things over the past couple of decades. Mm-hmm. But let me pull up a little thing here. This is an article, looking for the date. Why don't they put the date on anything anymore? Anyway, it's out of Charlotte. It's a TV station out of Charlotte, WCNC. And it says, North Carolina releases performance grades for the 2021 and 22 school year. Nearly 400 more schools will be on the state's low-performing schools list this fall, according to the data released on Thursday. Oh, there's the date, September the 1st. Mm-hmm. North Carolina education officials released testing results for each district statewide for the 2021-22 school year on Thursday, and the results showed most schools are still feeling the effects of learning loss from the COVID-19 pandemic. So we have to take into consideration the impact that that did have. And the Department of Public Instruction, schools resumed face-to-face instruction and virtual programs continue to be available for students, the report states. So looking down at this report, I'm going to do a search, Craven. And Craven County Schools. We've got the Albert Bangert School. Performance score was 79. They exceeded the growth standard. Ben D. Quinn, 58. They met the standard. Bridgeton Elementary, 53. It says exceeded, so I don't understand that. But Brinson Memorial, 66, exceeded. Craven Early College, 83, exceeded. Creekside Elementary, 76, met. Vanceboro Farm Life, 55, exceeded. Grover C. Field, 66, met. And Graham A. Barden Elementary, met. Now, that doesn't square with what we were hearing from the report about non-performance. But you get down here to Havelock Elementary, they met theirs at 58. Havelock High, 70, they met theirs. Havelock Middle School, 50. They did not meet. And J.T. Barber Elementary, 38, did not meet. And New Bern High, 65, did not meet. So we do have some problems. It's not across the board. Roger Bell, 50, they met theirs. And Trent Park Elementary met there. So it's not across the board, and I don't know the reason why some schools are performing better than other schools when they're all operating under the same school system, presumably with the same guidance from the school board and the administrators. Does anybody have any opinion on that?
Well, each school is just different, the makeup and where kids come from and their family life. So, like, for me, I'm on the west side of the end. You mentioned Vanceboro Farm Life Elementary. They had been classified as a low-performing school, and you mentioned that they exceeded growth, so they came up out of the low-performing status. Once you get in, if my understanding is correctly, there's like a range of 15 points. So when you're moving the ball, so to speak, in education, it does take a great administrator at each school. It takes a great staff and our teachers. They do a lot of hard work, but to really move that ball from low performing to get out of that scale, sometimes it just takes some time. But this year, like Vanceboro Farm Life, they moved out of the low performing status and now have moved out of that. So I just think it's the culture. I think it's the parenting, social, economical situation. Just a lot of different factors is just kind of my thoughts on that.
Okay. Jennifer?
I would agree with that. I think they're very different schools. Bangert, you mentioned first, is the best performing school in the district. And I think that's pretty much consistently been the case. I think one of my questions, though, is really how valuable some of these state measures are, because what they're looking at is improvements in student growth, and the way that is measured, I'm not really sure that the way we're trying to measure that is really helpful and accurate. I think that we've got to look at whether or not that's really the appropriate measurement. I mean, for me, I am less concerned personally with where our school system ranks relative to others than I am with how individual students are performing at grade level. That is my biggest consideration, is are our third graders learning to read by the end of third grade? I mean, we know that is the single most important thing we can do for a child.
Okay.
So,
Lauren?
Excuse me. So I do agree with the difference in cultures, but I want to point out something else that I have experienced as a parent. Within some schools, it's inconsistent by itself. And what I mean by that is I now have a middle schooler, and everything that they do is on their iPad. Okay. All of his different teachers for each subject each use a different platform. And if that's not relayed, which, I mean, it has been relayed to me, but it's hard enough. I have several kids. I have a lot going on. I can't constantly keep up with, has he turned it in on this way? Well, how does this one work? And, you know, if a child is not taught to be responsible for their own grades and the turning in their own work, then that is going to play a factor as well. And if they just don't get it, they're not going to care and they're not going to do it. So that, you know, we've talked over the last several months about what's wrong with pen and paper, what's wrong with a pencil and paper, why is everything on the electronics? And I think that has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of kids who they don't get their work done in school, so they have to do it at home. They may not have the time at home. They may not have the opportunity. They may not have the internet or the resources. And that may have a lot to do with it as well.
I think that's a very good point because we got to where we are on pen and paper.
Yes, correct.
All right, Mary.
I noticed when you read the numbers that the early college was doing fairly well. And it seems to me that one of the reasons the early college might be doing well is because I think parents tend to be involved in that program.
Right.
And when you talk about the culture in the different schools, one of the aspects of that culture has to be the parent involvement.
Yes.
And until we get parents involved, I'm not sure we're going to be able to raise the level on some of those schools.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and continue this.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have the candidates that won their election in Craven County for the school board. Brent Manning, Jennifer Dacey, and Lauren Kitzinger with us today. And we talked about the difference in performance in the different schools and all. So here's the hard question. And I'll start with Brent, and we'll just go around the table. Since you are going to be on the school board in this upcoming year, what are your suggestions for fixing that problem?
For fixing our academic loss?
Right, the student achievement, the low scores.
Well, I think our greatest challenge in this moment, since we've had the learning gap because of the pandemic, and now as we've transitioned out of that, looking at teacher shortage, having qualified teachers in every classroom is to me is one of the biggest concerns. I see in some of the schools that I serve right now where a teacher shortage is creating a lot. So I'm worried and concerned about what the academic success will look like because we've had the great resignation and that has impacted education in a great way. So recruiting and retaining well-qualified educators by far is the greatest problem that we need to address to be able to ensure that we can meet our learning gaps or academic success.
Good response. Jennifer?
I agree with that. I think that is our immediate concern. Most folks know, and especially in this room, that I had a very competitive race to win, and so I knocked on really a couple thousand doors in the process of campaigning. So I spoke with a lot of teachers at their doors, some of whom are veterans of our school system and really could retire, and I implored them at every opportunity to hold on. We need you. We want this to be a place where you are comfortable, where you want to work. We want to attract some of those folks that we have left, and who have left our system, and get them to come back. And so I think that has to be really a top priority for us because it so impacts what they're able to teach and what our students are able to achieve. And I've just talked to so many, particularly at our middle schools, where we have long-term subs in five or six classrooms and the enormous strain that puts on the remaining teachers to assist the long-term subs with their plans, and then that results, it's a cycle because it results in disciplinary issues. Mm-hmm. The teachers aren't familiar with these students in classrooms where there isn't a permanent teacher, and that then leads to a safety issue, and we've got to stop that cycle.
All right, Lauren?
I agree with both of them. Obviously, the best thing that we can do is attract and retain the best teachers that we possibly can, and how can we do that besides, you know, financially or other incentives, but to really respect the people that are teaching our kids? I mean, if you think about the amount of time that our children spend in school, we really need to give them some respect, not micromanage them. I think another thing is just overall consistency. Like we were talking about a few minutes ago, we want to hold them to a high standard and hold them accountable for teaching our children. But I do believe that some of the responsibility lies with our children as well. You know, if they're not going to try their hardest, it doesn't matter what kind of teacher we put in front of them.
And that also goes with the parents. The parents.
Yes. Community involvement as well. We need to get our children.
Oh, I was going to ask, is there a way that you can encourage more parental involvement in the teaching process?
I need
some great ideas.
We do need great ideas with that. We really do. I have a lot of kids in school, and one of my children, he's in first grade, loves to learn, loves to teach himself, loves to let us teach him, loves to teach us stuff. And then I have another child who probably could care less and doesn't want me to teach him. So it's all about finding the right way to approach each child because nobody learns the same way. You know, and a lot of parents say, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't know how to do this because they don't teach things like they used to.
Right. They're key right there. They don't do it the way they used to.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I wanted to get to is, you know, we've seen a lot of changes in the way we educate our children, and it shifted from actual education with the basics that they were always taught, the skills they were going to need to make it through life, to balance their checkbooks, to take care of their families and all, to hold down a permanent job. Mm-hmm. We have shifted that over to social agendas, social engineering. There's more time and money spent on that. Now, you're talking about attracting new teachers, getting teachers to feel. Well, if we cut out some of the millions of dollars that's being spent forcing these social programs down the throats of the parents and the students, and put that money to getting highly qualified teachers, we might have a chance.
Mm-hmm. And I also think a big piece of this is having teachers' backs when it comes to disciplinary problems in their classroom. That is a repeated issue I heard from teachers, especially in some of our EC classrooms. We cannot have a situation where we have a first grader hurling desks in a classroom repeatedly and have a teacher be told, well, it's going to take 10 suspensions for that child to be removed from your classroom. That is a safety issue for our students and our teacher. And we have to figure out another way if the parent is not able to help us and there's no other way to address that situation.
Right.
But we cannot deprive the remaining children in that classroom of an education.
You can't punish the thousands of kids because of a handful. Right.
Yeah. And we cannot ask our teachers to be social workers and nurses and everything else.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. The whole educational system, the infrastructure of it has been politicized and socialized. Mm-hmm. You can't allow your teachers to teach right. the way they need to teach because they've got to follow all these rules and guidelines. I'm all for getting the federal government out of it totally. Mm-hmm. Okay? Put it back in the hands of the teachers. If you've got good teachers, reward them. If you don't, get rid of them, mm-hmm. Plain and simple. I mean, we didn't survive the first couple of hundred years not knowing what we were doing.
Right.
All right. And
is that true?
And I don't think many teachers chose that profession for a free ride. It's not a free ride.
No.
It is not a free ride at all.
Yeah. Okay. Jump on to the next topic here. Parental rights, responsibility and authority over a child's moral development and discipline, education, and health care rests with the child's parent or legal guardian. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
100%.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because there are those out there that believe that responsibility now falls with the schools and the government.
That's insane.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you parents to take those rights back.
That's right.
You have to take them back. They are your rights, and don't forget.
And your responsibilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These three we're talking to here today, they work for you. You don't have to take anything off of them. They work for you. Yeah. If you don't like the job they're doing, you can boot them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's move on to the next one then. School safety, that's been mentioned a few times. I understand today, I know at New Bern High School, there was a prank call for a school shooting, and Bob, you said you heard it was happening across the state.
Happening across the state, yes.
I don't know why anybody would do that, pull a prank like that, but even that is a problem with safety because okay. now you've got officers, armed officers, responding to a call. They don't know what they're going to face when they get there.
That's right.
You could accidentally have teachers shot or students shot because somebody made a mistake, plain and simple. It's a serious thing. When we talk about school safety, Brent, what comes to your mind?
Well, thankfully, we're one of those counties, and thanks to our sheriff, you know, where we have an SRO in every school. So I think that continued support in that area, our facilities and grounds, and ensuring that teachers and administrators, you know, have following their safety procedures and protocols. When one is entering into the school, I think it's all those little things sometimes, kind of being in the classroom myself, you know, some years back, seeing it can be the little things sometimes that make the biggest difference. And so just being mindful of that as well. And then, of course, all the support that we can give and making it a top priority as we set the vision for our district and working, continuing to work with our law enforcement.
Good.
So I think it's a lot of those things. I think it's working with the sheriff's office to ensure that our SROs have issues identified and that we are working to make sure everything they see as a problem in terms of a physical plant, we help see that that's addressed. I think that's a priority. And we have to figure out and be mindful of the fact that there are a lot of things that are being brought into our schools, particularly into our middle and high schools, that parents may not be aware of. We would like them to be, but they may not always be aware of. And we have some issues there. We know we have some drug issues, you know, seeping into some juvenile populations. We've got to be mindful of that. And there's only so much that our SROs can do mm-hmm. to address those yes. issues when they show yes. up. So I think as a community, we've got to start thinking about how do we educate our parents to look for these issues and be mindful. I recall, you know, my kids are in college now, but when vapes sort of first came on the scene, I remember my son, who I don't remember what age he was at that time, coming home and telling me that, you know, kids in his class had friends who were buying these things and then reselling it. And you know, my son's always the business-minded person was like, well, it's so silly. He's bought this thing and he's only selling it. He's bought it for this and he's selling it for this. He's not even making any money. But that was the first I heard about, you know, certainly very, very underage children engaged in using these devices. And there has not been much education, I don't think, of our parents about the risks and concerns. And I have very serious concerns from my experience on our Juvenile Crime Prevention Council. We are starting to see our worst fears materialize in terms of what I think these things may ultimately be laced with. And we have got to start educating parents about looking for these devices and making their children aware of the risks
All right.
of dealing Lauren? With them.
I agree with everything that they've said, as per usual. But I think, you know, just like the incident today at New Bern High School, you see something, say something, and we need to teach our children and our community, you're not going to get in trouble for reporting something. It's better to be safe than sorry. You know, there was an incident at a middle school in Havelock yesterday or the day before. Same thing. If kids don't speak up and if they don't have the courage to speak up, to notice things, there's nothing that we can do, but we do need to get our community and our parents involved as well and to look out for things before they become an issue, to recognize and we need to educate them, involve them, and, you know, we can't force anything on anybody, but we really need to get them to see the importance and being more involved.
You know, I think as we heard from Chip Hughes recently that every community now is a border community
yes.
because of the fentanyl problem
Correct.
Coming in. There is no difference between the U.S. border and what we see here as far as trafficking of the improper drugs.
That's right. And my understanding from talking to Chip is that we no longer have, we used to have a regional alcohol law enforcement officer here in our area, a guy that I knew for many years, and we don't have one assigned to us anymore. This is a person who would go and do different educational programs to basically teach parents what to look for in their students' bedroom, signs of various kinds of drug use. And so, you know, I think we're going to have to pick up the slack or see if we can figure out a way to, you know, to get our General Assembly engaged in these issues.
I think discipline is a big thing. You
right.
know, we
absolutely.
We so many people these days think that they can just get away with whatever they want.
Right. Well, it's proven. They've proven they
well,
can.
That is
they,
true.
They have tried it. They've proven they can get
well,
away with
here
it.
Here in Craven
because
County, no.
There's no enforcement. There's no enforcement.
I agree.
And the teachers are afraid.
Yeah.
I've talked to teachers, they're afraid they can't do it. Well, all right, we've got to take another quick break.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. As we're talking with the newly elected school board members, we had just finished talking about discipline and things like that, and the school safety was the main question. I couldn't help but notice that it seemed like all your responses were focused on protecting the schools from outside influence or outside elements. One of the big things I hear from parents and students is the bullying, which is internal. There's a lot of bullying that goes on. And I'd just like to get your thoughts on that and, you know, what you think could be done about that. Let's start with Lauren and go that way this time.
Well, I have boys. We have a total of 5 boys. There's a lot of sibling bullying going on in my house, and I do everything I can not to allow it. It is really, really difficult, even with my own children. So in a school setting, I mean, it can't be tolerated. It's not right. I think our society has lost its moral compass. It's lost decency and how to treat people with respect. You know, kids can be mean. That's just sometimes the nature of children, unfortunately. But it says a lot about their home life. And things can escalate. People snap, you know, and that's something that I think goes along with the discipline being a safety priority. We need to discipline and hold our kids accountable and make them understand, and they're still children. You know, they're not adults. They can't just go acting however which way they want. They still need to abide by the rules. And there are rules. There need to be rules.
So that issue came up in my conversations with parents a number of times, and I think it is an ongoing problem, one that there are several really evidence-based programs out there specifically designed to address. In fact, there was one that was offered to all the counties in eastern North Carolina a number of years ago through Trillium, which is was then our regional mental health provider, and it was going to be offered at no cost And our school system did not take up that offer. It was a program that was developed by one of the parents at one of the school shootings that was out. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Maybe, I don't know if it was. It wasn't Sandy Hook. It was before that. It was like somebody's, it was the name of the daughter who passed away. I'll find it.
The Columbine kid.
It was the Columbine kid.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a very well thought of program, and it's specifically an anti-bullying program. But, you know, obviously, as we sit here at this table, to me, it is beyond upsetting that we have children this day and age still being bullied because mm-hmm. of the color of their skin or any number of things. But we have a problem, I fear, based on some things I've heard, where it goes beyond that, where we have kids in our high schools who are utilizing this mm-hmm. phone as a weapon. And that is a problem. We also, you know, we've got essentially some illegal activity happening when that starts, mm-hmm. When we're taking compromising pictures of other students, things of that nature. So that we've also got to really come down on.
I agree with them. You know, to start with, it's a moral. We've lost that moral compass. It is a moral issue. We don't have discipline in the home, parenting. You know, parents. Or either it's grandparents doing the parenting. Mm-hmm. And so we have a shortage there. My solution to some of these things would be our community involvement. Our communities have to step up. We have to be in the schools. We need to be present. I think doing that and being there will help. Our teachers can't do this alone. Our administrators can't fight this alone. It truly is a community issue. I do want to hit on, I do believe that the Chip Hughes, we've installed the DARE program, mm-hmm. and so that is a program that we do have in place right now. I think that is a solution. Right. I agree with the discipline. We have to get the discipline under control. You know, we can't tolerate these things. So I think a combination of these things working together will help, but certainly the community involvement, to me, in my mind, because as you said, to a degree, kids are going to be kids, and they're mean. So I've got two boys. All they want to do is wrestle all the time and be mean to each other.
You can take two toddlers and put them in a room by themselves, yeah. and one is going to be alpha over the other. Yeah.
I want to piggyback off of all of that and also say that kids are sponges. It doesn't matter if it's an 18-year-old child
yes.
or a 2-year-old child. And what is really important to me as a school board member is to emulate respect and hope that they take it in and see a better way that they might be able to behave. You know, and it's not just going to be me, obviously, but I think it's really important for us to show and not just say what is right.
Right. I second Lauren on that. I think that's super important. We have to model that mm-hmm. good behavior. And I also think that this is where we have some great churches who are doing fantastic work with a lot of our students in after-school programs, but they are limited in what they are able to do. Mm-hmm. And we need more of that, and we need more churches to step up.
Can I third that? I agree with all that. And yes.
And, yeah.
Kindness. We've lost that. Mm-hmm. Loving one another, kindness, being community, and it begins with us adults.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it begins at home.
And it yeah. begins at home.
We also see that today's day and age that, you know, where you talked about parents or grandparents raising kids, how many kids are raised by television
yes.
where they think that that's a normal way to act?
Yes. Yeah. Too many, way too many.
Just like we say it starts at home, sometimes there is no one at home to show them what it should be. And that's where it's
right.
society's responsibility or us within the school system or us who are involved with the school system to step up and
well, that's where I was going with this, is because you've pointed out some of the problems. You've pointed out there are rules in place. I don't think they're being enforced. Mm-hmm. Again, because the teachers have not been empowered. They've lost all ability to control their classrooms under threats of maybe having a court case against them, being sued, or, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why they're afraid to try to enforce the rules. We need to overcome that. And yes, it's supposed to start at home, but we know that in today's society, often it does not. Mm-hmm. So if it does come into the classroom, it is then our responsibility, talking about the bully, in my opinion, it's our responsibility. Okay, it's wrong. You violated the rules more than once. Mm-hmm. I think it's our duty then to separate that from the rest of the class. Mm-hmm. There's no reason a kid should go through the whole school year afraid because he's being bullied or she's being bullied all year long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's recognizing. If you're not recognizing that there's a bully in the class and that it's having an adverse effect on some of the other students, then you don't need to be a teacher. But if you are aware of it, you need to be able to take action and have that kid removed. Now, if he's coming from a home, or if he or she is coming from a home that's not enforcing it, there's nothing you can do there except maybe have a room somewhere where you send those type of people to, and they're heavily watched, and, you know. But please, please make sure the rest of the class doesn't suffer because you can't control this one child.
All right.
So many teachers are afraid of the consequences, but I want the culture to be to not be afraid to do the right thing. And if you think it's wrong to discipline a child who is disrupting your classroom or disrupting anywhere in your school, or if you're scared to correct that, then I think you need to do some hard thinking.
Well, you mentioned before, you got to let those teachers know you've got their back.
That is true.
Yes. If you take corrective action, we're going to be behind you all the way.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've got that now.
No.
I think that is the single most important thing that I said repeatedly to teachers, is that I am here for you. Mm-hmm. I am an open door. I am happy to talk to you anytime, anywhere. Here's my cell number. Because they have felt, and I've heard this for years from friends of mine who have been in our system, that they feel like when they speak up, and some of them can point to specific instances when they did speak up, and they faced retribution for doing so. And we are not going to be able to create a culture where they feel valued, and they feel heard, and they feel like they are supported if we are not available in some way. I know immediate supervisors is a different situation, but they need to feel heard, and we have to facilitate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you're mentioning being supported, because that classroom teacher needs to be supported first off by the parents, and then also by the administration, because sometimes we've heard that the teachers are an island unto themselves, and that can't happen.
Right.
Okay. For the sake of expediency here, so we can get through all of this, I'm going to ask you a question. I just want an affirmative or a negative. Okay.
Enough yapping.
It's got to be more than a head shake. Yeah.
Yeah. Vocalize it. Are you for CRT?
No.
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 Okay. And CRT, for those listening, if you may not know, I know I don't know who you are, but it's critical race theory being taught in some of our schools, even though you're told it's not. Okay. So we've talked about a lot of issues here today. Let me just start with you, Brent. Tell me what you think the most important issue to tackle right off the bat is.
Well, really, the things that we have talked about here today, you know, the academic learning and the achievement in that, the recruitment of teachers, and not only recruiting them, but, you know, keeping them retained and valuing people in our system. I think for us as a board is making sure that there's confidence in the Board of Education and the trust. So that might be more than one, but anyway, that.
Way to take everybody's answer.
Exactly. Stop there.
Well, I think Brent covered a lot of it. But we also have talked, and I think there are some things that we'd like to do to be sure that the public feels like we are as transparent as possible. And so I think that, you know, there have been folks on all, you know, from all walks of life who have made public records requests. We need to figure out how you know, what we can do to help facilitate those processes. And my hope is that going forward, if we can be more transparent about everything we're doing, that maybe there won't be the necessity for as many public records requests.
Absolutely.
So that is one of my hopes and prayers, and that's why I'm going to have monthly office hours so people can come and talk to me, because not everybody can make our board meetings and work sessions.
Right.
And we've also talked about, you know, perhaps there is a way that we can reconfigure those.
We might be able to
make those shorter. There are different other things that I think.
Let me interject here while Lauren tries to come up with one y'all haven't used yet.
I don't know about that.
Restructuring is very important, I believe, because over the years of attending the meetings and all, one of the biggest complaints is the way it's set up is you go in there and you have the students put on a little program. You have accolades and awards and all that stuff. And halfway through the meeting, when that's over with, you take a break, a recess. And, well, the parents have got to get the kids home, get them ready for school tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So the room empties out. So there is no parent participation in the actual business meeting part of it. Mm-hmm. I think those meetings need to be separated. Do your award ceremony one night by itself. And when you do a business meeting, a public meeting, make it that, the whole meeting. And give people plenty of time to interact. Transparency, as you were saying, Lauren.
I really think that it's important to let people know that they can trust us and that it's going to be okay. We have a lot to do, but we need to be a team. And that involves everybody, not just right. us on the board. There's a lot of stuff that we need to handle, just like Jennifer and Brent said.
And I will also say, because I raised this issue about the awards during the meeting, and I don't remember in what context I raised it, but I had a current board member explain to me that there was a survey that was done some time ago. I think it was when Linda Thomas was still on the board, so it's been quite a while. And in that survey, the feedback was that parents wanted these awards to be given at the school board meetings. You know, my personal thought is that I would like to honor students in their classrooms or in their schools in front of their peers, because I want them to be praised for their excellence in front of their peers. I think that's
all right.
That's the way you really encourage excellence. Personally. So my thought is that needs, and I want to spend more time in our schools. So that's sort of my thought on that, but that's a decision we'll have
to
make.
Well, I think there's a way to handle all of that, and that do it in the auditorium and televise it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So your parents get to see it, everybody gets to see it, whoever can attend, and everybody gets recognition. But business is business, and you need to conduct business by itself. All right, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Once again, speaking to Brent Manning, Jennifer Dacey, and Lauren Kitzinger, newly elected school board members in Craven County. And we've talked about a lot of different things here, folks, and you've got some great suggestions. Transparency's big one, big one. That's going to get you a lot of support if you live up to that, and that's what I want to talk about. When you get on the board, I think you get sworn in this coming Monday. We're recording this on a Thursday evening. And you get to work. The three of you, you can't speak for everybody, but the three of you are here. You sound like you're pretty much on the same track with your responses to all these questions. Do you feel like you'll be able to stand firm and work together with each other? Because having a 5-2 majority would make it real simple if everybody would just work together and stick together. Or do you feel like you're going to be one that is going to go along to get along, reaching across? And because my impression is I've never seen that work. There's always promises there, and one side does their part, and the other side never lives up to it. So. Brent, you a stick to your guns guy, or you a go along to get along?
I am one about bringing everybody to the table. I really am. We're educating everybody. We're our county. When we come to the table, we're representing everybody. So, but I'm, our group, I love our group, who we're talking about. But I want to see us working together. That's if we want to make the changes. That's what our kids need to see. That's what this next generation needs to see, well, us working together.
I agree with the working together, but I believe you're a pastor, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're familiar with the right and the wrong. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong,
oh, absolutely.
It's wrong. And now, there is no gray.
Right.
Okay.
So you have your convictions.
Right. So working together, to me, is fine. As long as you stand by your convictions.
Yes, sir.
Because when you start giving up your convictions,
right,
to get along with the, okay, I think you know where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm with you on that. I'm with you. You know, you got to live by your convictions.
Right. Jennifer, go along to get along or stick by?
I'm going to stick with my guns.
All right.
Yeah, I like my guns.
With your guns or with your guns? I think both.
I think both. And I think we have a great group. I think we share a lot of concerns. I think our values are aligned. And I think that certainly my hope and my prayer is that we will be on the same page on, you know, I hope everything, I know there will be tough decisions ahead, and I imagine that there will be folks on the other side of the aisle who don't agree with some of our value-based decisions.
That's where sticking to your guns comes
in. That's where it happens. Right. And that's, I'm here because I'm concerned about our future and our children and our community, and, I don't care about getting reelected. That's a non-concern for me.
Okay. Lauren?
I've said before during my primary campaign, and I will say again, that my values and my beliefs are my values and my beliefs. They're not going to change. At the same time, I think it's important to have these conversations with everybody.
Right. I'm not saying exclude.
No, I know.
Yes.
That's just where I stand. I stick to my guns, but if someone says something, they're not going to change my mind, right, but they may change the way I go about doing something. You know, maybe it's something that I hadn't thought of.
Right. And they may change your mind. I mean, no. I don't think you're 100% right all the time.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm right.
But you
ain't
gonna
stick to my guns on things.
Yeah.
But I am. I'm not stupid enough to think that other people can't teach me something.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the end of the night, the decision we make, we have to be able to go to bed, and that's how I'm gonna vote my conscience, my conviction, because I want to be able to go to sleep.
Right.
I am pretty adamant about my values, though.
Yes.
I think that's one of the reasons you got elected.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That's what people were looking for in this election. Is when I said a change, they wanted to hear that there was going to be transparency. They wanted to hear, the teachers wanted to hear that somebody was going to have their back and be on their side for a change.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, so your convictions are very important. I'm not a go along to get along kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I want to get along. I want you included. I want you at the table. But when it comes down to it, when I go to my Heavenly Father and I seek His guidance and, you know, He shows me what's right and what's wrong, I'm going to go with what I believe is right, mm-hmm, my convictions.
What is right? Or, you know that saying, what is legal doesn't mean it's right?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it's
absolutely
illegal doesn't mean it's wrong.
Well, too many things that have been wrong for years are legalized now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
were they wrong to begin with, or are they wrong now? I mean,
okay.
All right. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's show. Again, guys, I appreciate you joining us tonight, and I want to thank you for running for office. I know how vicious it can be out there. I've done it myself a couple of times, and give you kudos for sticking in there, and now the hard work's ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
So our prayers are with you, and we'll support you as long as you stick by your guns. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Y'all visit cctaxpayers.com to see what's coming up.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org.
For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.